Everybody ball, what you waiting for? We just high stepping on the flow, having a good time, so show me what you know.
This is a Hip Hop African Podcast, a show that features interviews and discussions on African hip hop culture and artists. The show is produced in the Department of African Studies at Howard University in Washington, D.C. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher, or catch us on our website, hiphopafrican.com.
Everybody ball, what you waiting for? We just high stepping on the flow, having a good time, so show me what you know. Show me what you got, I'll show you how to flow. Show you some new tricks, I'll show you fumbo. Teach you how to do it bigger than a jumbo. Jet hate, so tell them jumbo. Oh.
Welcome back to the Hip Hop African Podcast, and I want to welcome Keiko to the podcast, and thank you so much for agreeing to talk with me.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
So I, of course, have known about you well, much longer than you've known about me, but it feels like I've been following your career for quite a while. And, you know, of course, kind of my connection to Ugandan hip hop has really been through Babaluku and Saba Saba, as well as I knew Crooked when he, well, Ruyonga now, when he was in the States. And so, you know, yeah. I'm always looking at, you know, what are the women MCs doing? And so with Uganda, of course, you know, you can't look at women in hip hop and not look at the stuff that you've been doing. So, So I definitely want to, I guess, find out how you kind of, what your entry into hip hop was like, and kind of what was it that kind of, when did you start? Did you start off kind of as just writing lyrics? Did you, you know, what was your entry into hip hop?
I pretty much just, I was just a kid out of college, just, you know, recording music for fun, you know. Would just leave university and go to my friends. He had a garage. Before he went to the garage, he had a studio in his bedroom, and we'd go there after school with my friend, who actually was a gospel singer, and she was the one who was like seriously recording music. I'd just go there just to see, like, if you know, I could record, you know. I knew I could write because I'd been writing since high school, but it's just for fun and just for I don't know, be cool at school, you know, feel like the ones who can write songs. It was nothing serious. And then when I started recording, it was not serious. It's not like we were trying to be famous or anything like that. We're just trying to, I don't know, just have fun, you know, just say, oh my god, we could record a song, it actually is good, wow, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when I he was called Sam Lamara, and when he heard my stuff, he was like, you know what? You might want to, like, take this seriously, because this is actually some really good stuff. But I was like, you know what? I don't know. Like, you know, I was like, but at the back of my mind, I was like, you know what? I have nothing to lose, but what do I have to lose, you know? So, yeah, I came to his studio, and he would play my music for other people. Like, other bigger artists would come to record. You know, he was a pretty good producer, so they wouldn't mind coming to record in his bedroom. You know, yeah. So word kind of went around, and a couple of other producers listened to the music, and then they were like, oh, yo, what do you think about coming to a bigger studio to record music? So we're in the Swangs, and there I met a pretty young producer called Just Jose, and he played me this instrumental called How We Do It. The famous, you know, pop. I don't know if it's rap, pop. I guess that's what genre it is right now.
Yeah.
It kind of changed now. But yeah, he played me that, the instrumental, and I went home and I wrote it in under 2 hours, you know. And I went to the studio the next day and we recorded the song, and it like blew up. And I was never thinking about it that way. I was not even like, it all came, you know, as a surprise. It was pleasant, though. Yeah.
That was around, like, 2010, 2011?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, 2010. At the beginning of 2010.
Looking at women in hip hop in Uganda, so I know in Tanzania a lot of the women artists are encouraged to go into Bongo Flava because it's like, oh, you know, hip hop is a male space or whatever. So as a result, we haven't had women in hip hop in Tanzania that have kind of had long careers. It's kind of like, oh, a couple songs and then they disappear. So what has been the scene in Uganda for women in hip hop?
Well, before I started, I don't know if there were many rappers. To be honest, I knew some of them, but like the ones who were like older, who had like were like big names in the 90s, but they moved to the US, a group called Prim and Proper. So like they were the only ones that I knew that were like I heard of. And yeah, I think that's why they kind of like jumped onto it, you know, how things, you know, when I came out, it was kind of like, whoa, what is this? This is kind of new. And I was like, yeah, okay, let's do it. Yeah, I don't know what it was, but the scene in Uganda is kind of crazy because I don't know if it's just for me, but speaking from my experience, there's like a lot of intimidated male artists, like, you know, the ones that you found in the industry. Or maybe because I was kind of like a tomboy and the girls like me too, that was kind of a problem, you know. But, you know, it was kind of like... Well, who do you think you are? You just came out of nowhere and you pop in. Some of us been here all this time. Who the F are you? Kind of thing. So it was kind of really difficult for me. In the beginning, they were kind of like trying to play nice and all. And then like, you know, kind of like, oh my God, she's like performing at the Big Brother finales and stuff. Oh my God, she's just won a big award at the Channel O's and got nominated the year after again. Of course, they're not going to try and show it, but it's kind of like subliminal. Like, I'm the only one who knows what's going on. It's kind of like a Cold War, right? So I kind of got fed up with that energy where, like, it's, I look at industries like West Africa where, like, they let everybody eat, you know? Like, I'm sure they have their issues and whatnot, but, like you come up today, tomorrow you can eat. They let you eat. Like, you know, it's not like, oh my God, you know what I mean? Like, it has to be me, you know, or nobody else. You know, it's kind of like, I kind of lost the vibe for it. But it's kind of hard, you know. I try to like, you know, ride it along for like 2010 for like 6 years, I guess, because I kind of came out 2010 and then. I signed to Sony 2012, and then that was a big problem because they didn't like that. They're like, oh, well, excuse me, who are you? You just came yesterday here, and you have a recording contract. They made my life very difficult. Yeah, it was very, very difficult for me. So that kind of did not – I think my expectations with Sony were very different, and then what happened with it was also very different, and it kind of, like, took away the whole – panache, the vibe, you know. Sometimes, like they say, everything that glitters is not gold, right?
It's interesting because in terms of looking at some of the things, you know, it's like artists are constantly saying, oh, you know, they want a major deal. They're trying to make themselves marketable to an international audience. But there have been so many times when artists kind of get that deal and it's like, oh, shit, wait. Like, so what was that? Like, so was it for that deal? Because I've heard a lot of artists talk about, you know, creativity and kind of them being forced to kind of fit this mold that the studio or label had. So what was it about the Sony deal? Were they, in terms of expectations, was it that or was it kind of just, you know, marketing? What were some of the main issues there?
Really, it was a long story. I don't want to talk about it because, like, I kind of closed the chapter, you know, like, I don't want to, like, drag, like it wasn't a pleasant experience for me. First of all, it was based in South Africa, and we all know the situation in South Africa. But, like, I don't want to, again, talk crazy about it, you know, but, like, we all know what happens in South Africa with, like, you know, the Africans trying to work there and you know trying to eat and whatnot on top of whatever else happens down there. But there were a lot of nice people, but I think they do not know and know the direction or maybe understand the direction when it's going. And in terms of creative control, for me, that's everything. I'm not a dummy, right? Like, I'm not like dudes pop, but they're doing great. They're making the money, whatever. But I'm like, I write my own music, right? every time I write a song, it's kind of like a release, you know, like, and if I don't release that music, I'm stuck in that space. Like, that's how I feel. So after that, there was actually options to stay, but I was like, no, I think I've had about enough, you know. For me, I think that I got the best advice when I was just coming out and starting out, where I was blessed to meet like the OGs who had been doing music for a very long time. You know, they've been instrumentalists, they've played all over the world. They told me, chase the dream, don't chase the money. And for me, that's always been, you know, number one for me. And the whole, let's stay famous and let's be famous, let's invest in social media and whatnot, that's really not been about me. Like, and then going back to, oh my God, I want to rant and go off a tangent. That's just me. I'm a Gemini. I like go everywhere. Like, but like, I want to go back to, you know, you talking about how difficult it is for like a female MC, right? So before my album dropped, I think it was like 2 years before it dropped, like my Facebook fan page and my Instagram got hacked and deleted. How crazy is that? That's crazy. I was like, people are willing to do so much. It's too much. It's not worth it. Like, this, you can't do that. That's you're taking me away from my fan base. And like, that was like the core fan base, right? And then building that like from scratch again was kind of difficult right now. And it kind of like knocked the wind out of me, because like, you're vibing with your fans and then you wake up the next day, like, that's gone. It's like, what's that? Right? Like, that's crazy.
So has that all kind of led to, I know you know, I talked to you before, you were saying that right now you're focusing on filmmaking. And so is that kind of, have those experiences kind of influenced you to kind of go away from the hip hop scene and
No,
kind of move in a different
I've always wanted
direction?
to do movies. I've always wanted to be a filmmaker. Like I said, when I was in college, we just recorded a song and we popped. We didn't know we were going to pop. You know, I could write. I loved it. I enjoyed it. But then the industry tried to make it seem like, you know, they try and kill they killed the vibe, you know, because like too much animosity. And like, you know, I was just trying to have fun and I'm not trying to like, you know, fight for spots and like, oh my God, that's my spot. I'm supposed to be the big hip hop country, not you or the other person. Like, that doesn't interest me. I'm just a creator. I like creating and you know, I'm just making stuff. And with film, I've always wanted to be a filmmaker. And in that first song that I wrote, the How We Do It song, I actually imply it, where I'm like, the picture's too vivid, got his haters so livid, like HD, never SD. I'm always talking about pictures and movies in my lyrics and stuff. So when the opportunity presented itself, I took it. Because you know, I'd seen artists, like the older artists, and that's why I guess they turned into the people they became. You know, where they didn't want younger artists to thrive, where it starts to be about fame and not the creative. And I didn't want to be that artist, you know, who's like trying to get likes and be clickbait. And you know, the fans are the fans, the people who actually love my music, they love my music. That's really all that matters. They know who they are, and that's really all that matters.
Okay, so I definitely, in terms of there's, it's like interesting with this hip hop in Africa class, a lot of this stuff I find out about what's going on through like the students. And so this, you know, every year they have to, you know, blog about artists from a specific country. So a couple of them were blogging about you, and I'm like, what?
Yes.
She moved to
Oh my
Canada?
God.
What? She came out like, and it was like, I, you know, so I'm like, okay, she's in Canada. You know, it's easier to kind of connect with folks, you know, because she's closer. And so I know that, you know, in terms of doing work on women in hip hop, and I remember the couple projects I did where I was looking at women, African women and sexuality in hip hop. And so at that point, the only out queer women artists that I knew were in South Africa. You're music started to come out right around the time that Dave Picasso was killed. And I know, for example, there's an organization, I don't know if they're still there, SMUG, Sexual Minorities of Uganda. So there is this kind of queer, I don't want to say movement, but activists. And so how was, like, how did that impact you? Were you a part of that scene? And I know, I think I read somewhere that, you know, your friends knew but you hadn't come out publicly. So I just kind of want to know where were you know, where were you in terms of that scene and all the craziness that was happening
To
in
be honest, I didn't
Uganda
know
around
nothing about what
that
was going on. I was probably smoking weed and partying, surviving the club without guys lynching me because the girls are all over me, kind of thing. So, yeah, nobody ever got in touch with me from the scene, you know? Yeah. So I remember I used to work on radio, I was a DJ. So I used to DJ and perform as well at the same time, and mind my business. And I never came out. They were treating me like I was already out. That's the thing. Like, they're gonna be like, "Oh, Keke's gay now." Now that I came out, only when I came to Canada, that's when I did. But they were already treating me like I came out. You know what I mean? Like, they were not. They were doing all kind of weird shit. Like, oh my God, put on my French. They're doing all kinds of stuff. When I signed Sony, they spread a rumor in the country that I was not living in the country and I was in my house. So when the promoters would call for shows, they would be like, no, she doesn't live in the country anymore. She lives in South Africa." So all the promoters kind of like, no, she's not around. She's not around. So we can't book her." It's crazy. Like I was like, "These people, I'm sorry. Like, yeah, I love my people, but man, my people need us, man. Like, yo, come on, man. It's not that big of a deal. Come on, it's just girls. It's not a big deal. You can get girls if you want. It's not a freaking big deal." Guys, oh my God, you see this scar on my face right here? I got punched by a bouncer one time outside of a club. I think that was the last straw, actually, for me. I was like, "Nah, I'm done. I don't care if they build me a house. I will make my money elsewhere. I am out of this place. These people are crazy." I was with my friends. We went to the club. They don't let musicians pay to get into clubs, right? These people are trying to treat me like I should, like, I don't know, like, doubt myself or like I had not paid my dues. You know what I mean? Like, I was in the club with my friends. They let all my friends go in. And then they stop me from entering the club. Then they're like, "You have to pay to get in." I lost it. I lost my shit. I was like, "This is crazy." There's still a patriarch, like there's still a patriarch. How do I say that?
Patriarchy.
Patriarchy. Yeah, there's still patriarchy.
No, that patriarchy is serious. It's, it's definitely one of those things, again, the attempt to, try to control women's sexuality and the idea that two women cannot enjoy each other without a man coming in.
You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy because no. And then they're like, "Oh my God." Then there's this situation. They're like, "Oh my God, what do you mean you're gay? Like, excuse me, how can you be gay? So you mean you don't, mess with guys or whatever?" I'm like, "No, I don't. I'm sorry. My vagina, my decision." Yeah, I mean, for me, that's for me. That's what it is. I don't write all my feminists here, there, but like, I believe as a woman, I have a choice to, it's my body. I do whatever I want with it. So do not try and like fit me in a box where it's like I'm a property of like a man or whatever. Like I can do. I think that's why I'm so defiant. Like I want to do everything that men do. To do. I want to be a man. I don't want to be a man. I like my vagina just fine. You know what I mean? For me, it's like, excuse me, I can do whatever I want. Writing lyrics is nothing. You guys are writing nursery rhymes. It's not lyrics. Like, I can help you with that. And my movie's like, really soon. And they're gonna see what that's like. You know what I mean? Like, we do everything. Women do everything. We make movies. We play soccer. We everything. Jesus.
And it's been really cool kind of seeing, like, lately, especially in Uganda, a lot of the young women, like, they had the Women's March back in, I think last year, and like seeing these strong, and even at the Women's March, it was criticized by some men in social media because they felt like there was, there were too many lesbians there, and but it's seeing that these women are like
standing up for themselves, right? Like,
yeah, it was, you know, and it was crazy talking about sexual assault, sexual harassment, like just basically, you know, my body, my choice, and just, you know, the some of the men and some of the women too were just like, oh my God, this is, you know, society is going to hell. And but seeing that these women are kind of standing up and we're marching and we're calling out the names of women who have been, you know, raped or sexually, you know, assaulted. So it was, but it's been, you know, it's been great to see that. So even in the midst of all the kind of patriarchy and sexism, to see that there is kind of this, you know, pretty much unapologetic feminist, you know, activists in Uganda.
It's a good thing. And just, you know, piggybacking on that as well is like, when people think, people say feminism or hear feminist, they think you hate men, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God. My best friends are boys, okay? I love being a pretty boy. You know what I mean? Yes. So we can get girls together. You know, I could, you know, yeah, we could cheat or whatever. But, you know, maybe there's sudden ignorance there that, you know, oh my God, she hates men or whatever. No, I don't hate men. I love men. I so many gentlemen I've worked with that have been very nice and, you know, very, very respectful and very kind and, you know, and helpful towards my career. And there's women I've met who have been very nasty and then there's, oh my God, yeah.
So let me ask, because one of the things also when I was getting, you know, like excited about getting a chance to talk to you, I was talking to a friend of mine who is also a hip hop scholar, Kendra Selwa. She works at American University. So we were chatting. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm so excited to talk to Keiko. And so one of the things that she kind of pointed out is that, you know, Western media, they love to kind of make someone a poster child for like anti-gay rights or something. And, you know, that she was like, I'm sure she's probably tired of kind of telling her story over and over and over again. And I thought about that and I'm like, you know, yeah, that's true. And then I was like, okay, I don't want to kind of be like, so you're gay, tell me about that, you know? And so it was like trying to have a conversation, but I wanted to find out kind of, have you felt that? Have you felt like this kind of fascination with the fact that you are queer, you're from Uganda, and there's all this politics around anti-homosexuality in Uganda? Have you felt like people have tried to make you that poster child?
No, I try not to actually, but I never tried to come out and be like, oh, I'm gay or whatever when I was home. Mm-hmm. I have so much more to offer, you know, my artistry and whatnot. That's why I never really wanted to be like, oh, I'm the poster child for gay people. Because in doing that, people would be like, oh, she's using it to be famous. You know what I mean? It's like, she's doing it for money, right? Yeah. They think like you can wake up one day and be like, oh, I'm gay because I want to get money. That's more like prostitution, which is okay for people who do it. I mean, that's none of my business. Who would want to wake up one day and be like, I'm gay in a country like Uganda? That doesn't make sense to me. You have everything going for you. You have a career going. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. So no, I didn't want to be a poster child. And I don't consider myself a poster child of anything. That's why I kind of like exited to the left. I want to live my life in as less dramatic circumstances as possible. I don't want to be a poster child of that because I don't want my life story to be centered around that. And I'm still going to do music. I'm going to do my movies, soundtracks, and whatnot. But yeah, poster child, no, I'm no poster child for nothing.
Okay. So what is kind of next for you in terms of, you're in school now, right?
Graduation, I'm done. Graduation ceremony is on the 9th of May.
Wow, congratulations.
I'm done, finally. It's been 18 months, 18 long months, yeah.
So what's next?
Pre-production, development. Okay. We're trying to make some amazing cinema. I have a couple of projects in development right now.
Okay.
Good thing is I'm Canadian, so we have fun.
Any plans to come to the States? Because Toronto's not that far.
Of course.
I'm definitely, you know, looking forward to kind of watching you and seeing what you're doing next and, you know, just kind of wishing you luck and everything.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Make you dance.
Oh, oh. Let's go.